What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93, brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network, Roughneck Scarves, and of course our new sponsor, For the Culture United. On this episode, Shanair is unable to hop on due to coaching, so Matt Myers, also known as RVA's Red on Twitter, is joining me to discuss our disheartening loss in North Texas, how certain players show promise. Matt also has some very, very hot takes, as usual, and how the outlook of USL League One will look in 2 years. So with all that being said, sit back, relax, and enjoy my convo with... Joining me on the phone today is a very good friend of the podcast. It is Matt Myers. How are you doing, man?
All things considered, okay, I guess, minus the last 90 minutes.
You sound a lot better than me. I actually went to the watch party to go watch this game, and I have to say that I'm pissed, because seeing the lineup, I was like, all right, this is kind of like the backups or like kind of our starters. But I feel so confused about what was going on in the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I think, you know, as soon as earlier today, you know, I was scrolling through my Instagram looking at, you know, some of the various stories, and I saw, Garrett's story where he's saying something like, you know, bringing the 3 points home, boys. And I was like, well, huh. I guess that means maybe he's not playing today. Maybe he didn't make the trip. Hopefully it's nothing major and it's just rest. But yeah, you start to, you know, get that little piece of information, you know, come in and get the idea that, all right, we're probably not going to see the first team today. So I had my expectations set for at least a few changes early on, so I wasn't terribly shocked by that.
Yeah, and neither was I. You know, I expected, like we shared earlier, that Troy was going to be out because of yellow card accumulation. Bolduc, I know he took a little nasty knock at the end of the game, so I kind of expected him. Gargano, saw the Instagram story. But then the rest of the lineup kind of looks the same. I mean, striker, there's not a lot of overhaul you can do instead of bring on maybe Boateng. But yeah, like, even from minute one when they scored the goal off of, 19 seconds,
I think we got to 20 before it went in.
Maybe so. But still, okay, let's talk about that goal first and foremost. I think Ivan clears it up the field, and it's either Chen or Jackson. I couldn't really tell at the moment. They lose the header, and the ball gets played back upfield. And then I want to put the blame on Connor, but I don't feel like it was all Connor's fault.
I mean, I think it was a combination of things, really, because, yeah, you know, Ivan, you know, plays, you know, semi-long ball up the field, and one of their defenders, I don't even remember which one it was, doesn't matter, you know, wins the ball and goes right back down our throat. So, you know, Ivan's already on the defensive. You know, I'm not sure, you know, if, you know, Scotty was, you know, too high up the field looking for a pass and couldn't track back quickly, but there was a big channel right down that touchline over there. So, you know, you got Ivan scrambling, you know, back, you know, doing what he can, and he gets a little bit of pressure, but still mostly uncontested cross. You know, Connor's already started to, you know, slide over to cover some of the space that Ivan had to leave to be able to, you know, slide wide. And I think, you know, Ockley just wasn't able to make, you know, the cover for Connor's space either. So, you know, Ronaldo Damas just had, you know, a wide open alley right down the middle of the box, and, you know, the cross is half decent, which it was a great cross, goes right into his head, and, you know, at that point, you just have to hope he misses the target, and he didn't do that very often tonight.
No, he didn't. Not at all. I mean, I don't know. Maybe on that goal, I just feel like Connor maybe could have been closer. But like you said, like, he's probably already out of space because he had to cover Ivan, so it called him out. And then the second goal, I felt like most of the goals in this game really came off of individual errors. Yeah, except for, like, maybe the last one, the last two, we were – pushing up, but really, like, the second goal, it really come off an individual error, and Wapi loses the ball in a dangerous spot. I'm trying to figure out, like, why didn't he just make the easy drop down pass to Ivan and let Ivan clear it instead of trying to dribble past three people that are clearly pressuring you?
Not just three people, but three people, you know, 25 yards from your own goal in the middle of the field. And I mean, the other thought is, yeah, he had Ivan there, but it didn't have many other options, you know, and that's probably why he was dribbling around a little bit. So, I mean, the question becomes, where were his other options,
Yeah.
and I don't have, the screen in front of me to be able to, play it back right now, but you got to think that, either a Thompson or a Kraft or a Maxey or, somebody else, should be able to, be there to provide, at least some sort of outlet, beyond just Ivan, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think it really in this game, I don't think the back line did anything particularly good, but he didn't do anything particularly bad because they were put in bad positions because of how the midfield was. I mean, the one thing you cannot do against North Texas is lose the ball in the middle of the field, and we did that routinely. I mean, one player I hate to point it out was Maxey Rodriguez, you know? And I don't want to say like I don't want to say like come across as like I dislike Maxey or anything like this. And for those who don't know, we are recording this game like right after this podcast, right after. But Maxey, I gotta say, he looks shot of confidence right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Max is, a good skilled player. I don't think he fits with what we're trying to do right now at all. And that, I mean, it has to be, deflating. You're coming in, you're the team captain. Literally everything is running through you for the first, what, half, 60% of the season. The team, the coach switches it up, which, at that point you got to figure it's probably coming at some point. You got to try something different, and then literally as soon as you see the bench, the team goes on a winning run. Yeah, you've got to notice that, and you got to, probably feel like, oh wow, is it a little bit, my fault? I want to get back out there, but crap, the team's winning. How am I really going to get, back, into that, first 11?
I definitely. I mean,
And then he gets, frankly, a little bit, hung out to dry when he does get his chance today, because, like you were saying before, it was a, B plus team at best out there and against the best team in the league. And, that's he probably wasn't put in the best situation to succeed tonight.
no, and I'm glad you mentioned that point because now looking at it, I'm like, all right, we are playing against a North Texas team that, granted, they are top of the table. I think they even clinched home field advantage with this win, correct? I believe they
Lancey could still
3-2.
catch them, I think, but they at least have a first round game at home now.
All right, so that, and then I don't know. Maybe I was just expecting like this is Maxey's moment; he could really show. And I think it kind of just fell flat on his face.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to pretend like he played well tonight, because I don't think he did. And I think if you ask him, a little ways down the road, when he's probably had time to, process everything that's been going on over the last month, he can look at a bigger picture. I think he'd probably, say that it wasn't his best performance of the year by any means. I think the third goal, you can put a lot of that right at his feet. But I think there's still a role for him in this team. I don't think it's something where we need to, throw him overboard. Is it as a starter? Probably not right now. But I think, as a reserve to hopefully see out some victories, be able to, clog up, the field late in the game, I think he can still have a lot of value right there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, me and you were texting earlier during the course of the game, and of course there was a lot of angry texts, more from me than you. But I was mentioning how I would have liked, this is just me, I think Eckenrode probably would have done better in the middle of the field where Maxey would have been able to be pushed up more because I think that really is Maxey's game. I think Maxey is a great attacking midfielder. I mean, he doesn't, he's not really a cam, but he's more of an attacking midfielder. Who
Yeah.
could have more of those passes, who has the ability to have time with the ball, and he doesn't have to worry about, having to cover the back three and all the defensive work and drop it back in.
Mean, I don't even know if I consider him an attacking midfielder. I think he's like his perfect, position, if everything could be built around him, would, kind of be almost like a hybrid of, a Pirlo style, and a Michael Bradley type style, almost, if you can kind of imagine what that would look like together, because he certainly can. He has a lot more work rate than Pirlo ever did,
I
right?
imagine a bald head and a lot of wine drinking.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty good life, right?
Yeah, that does. That sounds like an
But
excellent life.
yeah, but somebody who can, still, be very mobile, who can get stuck in, but really, his bread and butter is spraying the ball around, more than anything else. So if he had, a pure, CDM, behind him, maybe somebody, who could take, like Joey G, who could take more of the actual playmaking lead off of him, but he's able to facilitate. He's able to, be the fulcrum to be able to bounce everything around. I think that's probably where he thrives the best from what I've seen this year, but I don't think we've, been in the position to give him that chance to play that type of a role.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, like a lot of people have said, this game was kind of just like, I hate to use the term a throwaway game because I think all points to us right now are very like helpful. But I do like now talking about it, and, you kind of being my impromptu therapist about it, I feel a little bit better about the outlook of this game.
But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Obviously, we're not in a position where we can, just punt any points right now because, while we have, a little bit of a margin, but it's a very little bit. But if you look at what the schedule has left, these next three games are so much more important than this game was. We're playing Madison, who, we're what, 5 points, behind with, now one game in hand. We're playing at Tucson, who right now we're, what, 3 points behind. Level on games. And then we're playing Chattanooga. I think we're 5 points behind with a game in hand. Those are all direct competitors. And you win each of those, you can turn around all of, those deficits right there. And then you're looking at the last two games, home Toronto, home Orlando, which if you're a playoff team, you have to get 6 points out of those no matter what anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way I look at it is, Bulo and Mika, they took, took a look at everything and made a calculated gamble of, all right, let's put a, B plus, team out here, see if we can steal a point, maybe even steal 3 points out of this game. But we're going all in on Madison on Saturday. We're, pushing all the chips in there. We're putting it all on red.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely, even the fact of like, you also we got I gotta remember that even though this was kind of like a mix of a C-ish, B-ish squad, I would say more leaning more to B. We actually had shot opportunities at goal. I mean, Dennis Chen
Oh,
had
yeah.
a chance on goal, I think, in late first half that the goalkeeper went like I think cleat first into Dennis Chen's chest.
Yeah, I mean that's one where I don't know how the ball even got there in the first place because the defender had, a clearance that I would be embarrassed, to make even, and I was a mediocre defender during my high school days, but I wouldn't clear the ball, 120 degrees behind me.
No.
The majority of the time at least, and I wasn't getting paid to play. So how that ball even got there in the first place, but that's the sort of break that teams who have good fortune seem to finish a lot, and teams who have bad fortune don't. I mean, it reminded me a lot of something that would have happened in June, where okay, we get a random break every now and then, and it doesn't come through, it gets squandered. Whereas over the last few weeks, like even look back to Saturday, where Greenville has that little bit of a, who knows what was going on with their keeper leading up to that corner, and then that corner went directly, into Troyer's head into the goal. Those are the kind of lucky breaks that teams that are in a good spot get a lot of times. So yeah, I mean you'd hope Shane would finish that, came close to finishing it, but I don't think that's the biggest one that goes into the category of should have been a goal for us tonight.
Oh yeah, I mean definitely in the second chance. I think we had what a good. It felt like 5 minutes. It might have been only a minute, but I think we had like what six shots on goal in the span of like a minute. And
Oh, we
I,
had like five in the course of like 10 seconds that
yeah,
somehow nothing materialized from it, and
nothing.
I don't get it because like that's another one where I don't understand how the ball even got loose in the first place. It looked like it was rolling right, to their keeper, and somehow it pops out, and Boateng's able to go chase it down, and then he does a good job, avoiding the player, getting it, into Chin, who, dribbles around the keeper, which looked a lot like, the situation where Akira shut that guy down, in the first half, just being able to stay upright and upright, but Chin actually got all the way around him, cut back, had a clean look at goal, and he rolls the ball. Like, bro, put like 2 feet of elevation on that, and there's no way they're going to stop that.
No, not at all. And I think like that moment alone, I think after that, I think the team just lost all kinds of confidence. Just like, all right, it's not our night. And I mean,
Yeah.
you do have those nights in soccer, but I think like Chen, like just, I mean, someone, I think someone made the point behind me about how, like, he was so focused on not getting stopped by the goalkeeper, they didn't even lift his head to look to see, like, who was behind him. And it just looked like he just kind of just wolfed at it.
Yeah, did everything right until the final touch, but the final touch is the most important touch because that's the one that puts it in the goal, yeah. And that's what the ultimate objective of the game is.
Yeah, that is very true. And my thing is, I just don't want, you know, going into Saturday is going to be a very lively environment and there's going to be a lot of pressure. I don't want the team to kind of just overthink this game. I think this is a game where, like, you know, when you're in high school and you just have a bad game, the coach, he doesn't even look at the tape. He just throws the tape away. Yeah, just don't even look at it.
Yeah, we look at, you know, we just played Madison, you know, twice in the last month. Look at those two game tapes. Look at, you know, go over that. Look, I mean, I think you and I and anybody listening to this can probably, with very high levels of confidence, barring some injury that we don't know about, name at least 10 of the starters that are going to be out there on Saturday right now.
Yeah.
Right? I think the only toss-up is it Shin or is it Jackson?
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, but you know, you look at the choices, even you know, leaving Hughes and Lockerbie on the bench. I mean, we know we don't have any other center backs, so we know it's them three, you know, back there. I mean, the team sheet kind of, you know, writes itself right there. So let's build off of that and be able to, you know, move forward from there.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Well, we're going to stop talking about this game. I mean, the other two goals, it was against the run of play. Like you said, like on the third goal, Maxie just gave away possession. And the fourth goal was kind of just against the run of play. This really
a little bit of bad bounce. I mean, I think that is maybe the only one that Akira might look at and say he might want that one back. I don't think he had any chance on the other three.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at that point, you know, I was much more concerned with, all right, nobody get hurt. You know, there's two or three times, you know, Akwe went down. I was holding my breath. I was like, come on, not like this. We're not going to end the season like this right now.
I know Eckenrode took a pretty nasty knock, and I'm really hoping that he get well soon. It did look like a possible concussion. I don't know. I'm just totally speculating, but it did look like he took a pretty nasty knock.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. One thing I did want to say about this game, though, certainly on the positive side, I was really impressed with Riley Kraft.
Okay.
You know, I thought he had a really solid game. Again, you know, you lose 4-0. Can't really say it was a perfect game. You can't say it was great, but I thought he definitely looked like he has a role that he can play. You saw a few times he was able to spray 50-yard balls right in the path. He played that one in the second half to Chin that Chin got to, and their keeper just barely got to it outside the box after Chin's first touch. I mean, we don't see that ball played that accurately that often. I think he did a good job of being able to move possession around. I don't think he put him in the starting lineup for the next game by any means, because why are you going to play around with what's been working? But I think he can certainly slide right into a top reserve role for right now. And if we do need to rotate for some crazy reason the rest of the way, I'm not going to feel uncomfortable with him seeing minutes.
Yeah, I told you. He looked very good. I think he created like one or two chances. I got to go back and recheck and try to make it through the game highlights. But I think he created some good opportunities for us. He looked really good up top.
Yeah. Look, the only beef I have with him right now is that it now makes it tough to tell him and Scotty apart on the feed, because you got two guys with that kind of strawberry blonde hair out there. Used to only be one, make it really easy to tell who it was.
This is also very true now. This is also very true. God, I didn't think about that. So you just said that.
Hey guys, real quick rant read real quick. If you are looking to support our podcast, make sure you go to ftcutd.myshopify.com to check out the new River City 93 t-shirt. It comes in red, it comes in white, it comes in black. Also, they also have their own podcast, For the Culture United. You can check them out on, of course, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. Trust me, make sure to check them out. Give them a follow, and also buy a t-shirt. It goes to support our podcast. So with that being said, I get back to our interview with Mr. Matt Meyer.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about Saturday's game, also known as the Henny Derby, which is a.k.a. also known as Heritage Night. It's going to be a packed house. I think it's been confirmed that the Flock is coming down, Featherstone, Flamingos. Surprisingly enough, North Carolina FC supporters are coming up, which –
Whatever.
I don't know why, but they're coming up.
Oh, because one of their old players used to play for them. You don't see us, going out and, supporting other teams because some, random player used to play for them. But they had three former kickers on their team, and, one of their assistant coaches played for us last year. Guess what? Those guys sucked. I'm happy they're gone.
Oh, well, hot take by Matt. I like it. What's your expectations coming out of this game for Ford? Like, what are you looking for? I mean, obviously you're looking for the win, but it's
right.
Like,
I feel like that's like obvious enough. We're not absolutely mathematically at win or go home, but we're very close, and we're definitely at the cannot lose by any stretch of the imagination. We lose, it's all but over. So, but I'm looking for more of the same what we've seen over the last month and a half, minus today, obviously. Allow that, 5-1-1, 5-3-1-1, whatever you want to call it, to be able to thrive, because I think that's allowed Troyer to sit in, freed up Eli, freed up Hughes on the wings to be able to push a little bit higher. It's given Gallardo a lot of room to be able to create something. Whichever forward we've put up there has been able to make something happen over the last few weeks, whether it's DJ getting that winner up in Madison, getting a couple goals later on, whether it's Chin getting his brace, getting some other good chances. It's been working. I think just like we stuck with the old possession system for a while, and just kept with it, this time we keep with what's actually been working. Instead, no need to reinvent the wheel. I'm a big fan of, if you find something that works, go with it and don't change to the other team. Make them try to change to you.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I definitely want to get back to having majority of our starting lineup back. I think Troy definitely fits in. I do kind of wonder who's going to be the striker after this game. I didn't know if Jackson got pulled, so that kind of makes me wonder if Jackson's going to start.
Yeah, you would think so, right? Just based off of speculation, because why else would you take him off instead of Chin? I mean, they just seemed interchangeable in the first half. So is that a little bit of a hint?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I think the first – I will say this. The one thing that's kind of scared me about the kickers, and you know this, is like the first 15 minutes, we look very slow. It's kind of like, all right, what are we doing? Are they reacting? And we get behind. And if teams seem to capitalize. I mean, Greenville, I think there was two good opportunities in the first 10 minutes.
Yep.
South Georgia scored in the first five. North Texas scored in 20 seconds. I mean, there's been countless moments where it took us a while to get into the flow of the game. But once we get into the flow of the game, we control it. So I want us to be on the fast foot early. And if we have an opportunity, take it. You know, that's one thing now granted, we've had 2 years of us not taking any chances, but I want us to be able to take our chances early and put forward on the back foot and see how they react to it. Because forward is a team where if they're on the forefoot, they're going, they're great. But it's like once you put pressure on them and kind of make them have to make the be the reactionary ones, they don't seem to do well with that pressure.
Yeah, I don't think they're a special team by any means. They get a lot of hype because of social media and memes, and because soccer Twitter thinks graphic design is more important than actual soccer. But you watch them play, they have some good players. Don Smart, decent player. I'll never like him because of the whole RVAFC and him being Grover's right hand man and all that. So screw that guy for forever. But he's good. Banks is good. Paolo Jr., good players, but they don't scare me. There's nothing that makes me think, oh no, how can we ever win? They have Don Smart. Big deal. We have Joe Gallardo. We got Dennis Chin, guys who are just as decorated, just as good, just as talented as them. We just don't hype them up endlessly on Twitter and sell out for dumb little Las Vegas Lights style promotions all the time. Who cares?
I'm not gonna lie, I love the hot takes right now.
I got more. Don't worry.
Oh, I know you do. I trust me. I know. But I mean, with that being said, it's definitely going to be a big. It's a must win for us. I'll put it like that. After this, we have FC Tucson on the road. We go to Chattanooga on the road. I think those are two games that, you know, two teams that are going to be – the pressure is going to be more on them than it is going to be on us. And I also think that, you know, the Toronto game and the Orlando City B game are games that we have to show up for. You know, there's not going to be an excuse of us being lackadaisical in those games. Those are games that we have to, you know, definitely show up for.
Well, by the time we get to those games, we're going to know if they even matter or not anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Because if we don't get the results in the three before them, whether we show up or not, it's, you know, just a matter of pride at that point.
Yeah.
And so, here's, but all three of these teams, we've beaten all of them this year already. So there's reason, you know, to have, you know, some optimism there. There's reason to think that it's doable. We're not, you know, if you look at even our, you know, record this year, I think we've given up, what, like, you know, 29 or 30 goals all year. How many of those were against North Texas?
Nine. We have a nine.
How many of them, right. And how many of them are against Lansing?
I think eight. Nine or seven.
I think it's eight. 3-3-2, right?
Yeah, it is. It
all
is.
Right. So that's 17 out of, what, 29 or 30 goals against those two teams. Against the entire rest of the league, 13 goals against.
That is very true.
That's not. That's a pretty, you know, decent defensive record here, right there. We're not going to talk about the offense because that isn't a good record anywhere we look at it.
Yeah.
But on the defensive side, you know, okay, yeah, we've struggled against, you know, the, you know, two arguably elite teams, you know, in the league.
The team that are 1-2 in the USL League One right now.
Right, but we've beaten every other team in the league at this point. We've, you know, shown well. We certainly haven't, you know, gotten outclassed at any point. There's no reason to think we can't do this now, especially, you know, given that we're playing at a, you know, again, minus today, a level much, much higher than, you know, we saw for the first 4 months of the year.
Yeah, definitely agree. Definitely so agree.
It's there for the taking. Whether,
it is. It's
whether
gonna
the,
be,
you know, coaches and the guys are up for it or not, that's what we find out over the next month.
Yeah, it is definitely going to be an exciting atmosphere. I mean, I can't wait for it.
Yeah, but the other thing we got to think about with Madison is, you know, what, if any, of their lone players are they going to have available? Because, you know, they have guys cycling in and out from Minnesota seemingly all the time. You know, will we see Dane St. Clair in goal, or will we see Brian Silvestre in goal? I'm hoping Silvestre, because if he's going to let another, you know, ball go, you know, straight through his gut like he did against Tormenta, I'm all for that. I'm all about playing mediocre keepers who, you know, were hyped up as 17-year-olds and, you know, 10 years later are still bouncing around, you know, the lower divisions. And, you know, it's not because their desire is because they keep on playing for bad teams.
That is so true. Well, we're almost done. I mean, the last thing we got to talk about is the article that came out today. I think Soccer Takes put it out talking about it's been rumored that a lot of MLS 2 teams are coming down to USL League 1. So, first and foremost, the article mentioned that it was reported first it was going to be Tacoma Defiance. They said that's not true. It's going to be Portland Timbers 2, LA Galaxy at 2, also known as Los Dos. Riverside, who I found out today that they're, I think, owned by AS Roma, the Serie A team, and then New England Revolution, who Schneider is now going to have split allegiance for.
No, he's
you know,
not.
He's from Boston.
No, he's not.
They're going to have an expansion side down. So it's going to be interesting to see, and this is still being rumored to see who really is coming down, but, like, how do you feel about, you know, USL League One potentially being the landing spot for a lot of MLS 2 teams?
Yeah, I'm split on that. You know, I don't have a philosophical problem with playing, you know, two teams. Like, I know, you know, a lot of people do. That part alone doesn't bother me. I think, you know, there's going to be interesting games. You know, certainly you see a lot more interesting players in those games. I mean, you think back a few years ago, we were playing, you know, Red Bulls 2, and they had Aaron Long, national team player. You know, they had Tyler Adams, national team player, Bundesliga player. You know, they had you know, Derek Etienne, MLS player playing for Haiti. They got, you know, a few guys who have really, you know, panned out. You know, you look at, you know, North Texas. I'm sure some of these guys who have been, you know, tearing us up this year probably going to go on to big things. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of cool to be able to say, hey, we saw them once upon a time, and hopefully be able to say, hey, you know, we beat that ass once upon a time. you know, but so I don't have a problem with it, you know, on that end. You know, I certainly think that they needed teams on the West Coast, right? Right now it's Tucson and Tucson. out
Yeah,
west.
I think that's pretty much. Oh, another team coming in, Omaha. Omaha's coming in, and then
Yeah, we are.
Rochester and Penn
Yeah,
FC
so
are
we already
being
knew
pushed
about
to
that one,
2021.
which, you know, I'm cool with. So I don't mind, you know, some of those MLS 2 teams coming down to be able to fill out, you know, the West Coast, you know, a little bit. I'll believe the Riverside thing when I see it, just because when do you ever see these, you know, European, you know, owned lower league teams actually work out? You know, it seems like they're always vanity projects that flame out after a small amount of time because they want to, you know, reallocate the resources somewhere else. So,
Yeah, I think the most famous one was Rayo OKC that
you had
then
that one. You had
eventually
Crystal
turned to
Palace
someone else.
Baltimore. You know,
Yeah.
you had them. Yeah, there's a couple others, you know, over the years. The issue that I end up having is, you know, think about when, you know, they first announced League One and we first announced we were dropping down. What was the selling point? You know, regional rivalries, you know, being able to, you know, build up in, you know, newer, smaller markets, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like Omaha can fit that pretty well. You know, it gives, you know, while it doesn't help us necessarily, you know, they're not terribly far away in the grand scheme of things from, you know, your Madison's, from some of that Midwest contingent. So cool. I'm down with Omaha. Seattle, Portland,
Yeah.
Boston, LA. That's not what the stated mission of the league was at all. You know, how much is that really helping with regional, you know, rivalries? How much is that actually helping with growing the game?
That's also true. I mean, the thing
Right?
that I would like to see out of these MLS 2 teams is kind of, I have no problem, like you said, like I have no problem if it's MLS 2 team, but I would like to see like a brand change. You know, like how Seattle Sounders 2 changed to Tacoma Defiance. You know, or I give the perfect example of RG, what was it, Rio Grande Valley?
Yeah.
They're affiliate to Houston Dynamo, but it's his own separate club. Like it's his own thing that's in his own community. You
Yeah, I'm
know,
honestly, I'm totally indifferent on that
that's
stuff.
what I would like to see happen.
Yeah, that part makes no difference to me either way, so I'm not going to pretend like I have a strong opinion there. But my thing is, all right, so again, we bring in some of these MLS 2 teams to be able to, you know, stabilize the league, just like, you know, back in what were we called at that point, USL Pro, I guess it
Yeah.
was that era, when, you know, the MLS 2 teams, you know, started coming in to stabilize, you know, the league during the whole, you know, quote unquote wars, you know, with NASL, which was never a war because NASL was always going to suicide themselves because they were incompetent every way possible. So we had that, you know, come in, and that, look, you can't deny that that helped the USL in the long run. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so it'll probably do the same thing for League One, but I don't want to see the league just become strictly two teams. You know, think back again to last year. We saw, you know, USL, you know, touting, oh, where's League One going to go this week on their tour? You know, some little, you know, crappy city in, you know, Tennessee, some crappy city in Ohio, some crappy city somewhere else, you know, little small markets, which was seemingly the goal of the league. Where are all these teams? You're telling me they, you know, went and talked to 30 plus cities and all they have to, you know, show for it is Omaha right now? Yeah.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I do really wonder. Like, I really thought USL League One. I know there's been talks about Pro Rel and things like that. And I'm really thinking League One was kind of banking on Rochester and Penn FC. They have their stuff together so they can come in and then plus bring in Omaha. But then underneath that, kind of being like, all right, look, we're bringing in like these two MLS 2 squads that kind of like, we really can't compete. So we want to come down to the lower level. And that's what I think they were really banking on. But now the only thing you really have to show for it is Omaha and three MLS 2 squads, plus a Riverside team that no one has heard of until really this article. And it's kind of just like, all right, where else are you guys building up at? I mean, at the beginning part of the year, we heard about Virginia Beach possibly coming down. We haven't heard any traction on that. You know, there hasn't been any real talks from the league about. Oh, we're looking at these different markets. I mean, like you said, when they were first starting up, it was talks about we're going to this market, we're going to this market, we're going to this market. And it hasn't been any real talks about that. I mean,
Yeah, and of course they're never gonna hit 100% of their visits. You know, that's unrealistic to expect. But you would hope there's some progress, and you would also hope the league is smart enough to know not to count on Rochester, which is already on dormant for 1 year and now 2 years, now looking at 3 years. And you know, the freaking Harrisburg City Islanders. If you're putting all your chips in on the Harrisburg City Islanders, Penn FC, whatever you want to call them this week, yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, I want to go to the casino with you because I'm going to take all your money every day of the week.
Well, do you think there's any other teams that's possibly, that could come down from championship, or teams even from USL League 2 that could possibly come up? Anyone that catches your attention?
I'm not even going to pretend like I have any idea who's in League 2 at this point. But, I mean, outside of, tournament, how often do you really see teams successfully move from amateur to pro? So I'm not counting on that. I mean, the longtime rumor, for decades has been Des Moines would come up, which would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would fit with the Midwest group pretty well. But I mean, they've resisted for like 15 years among the rumors. Like, you got to think that they're going to take action there. They probably would have already.
Yeah.
In terms of teams coming down, I mean, that's always really hard to say, I think. But I think the number one you have to look at is Charleston, right? Yeah, they're leaving whatever they call it now, Blackbaud Stadium. That'll always be Blackbaud Stadium to me. Their owner seems like a complete, idiot in every way, getting, arrested last year on his golf cart, alienating the local press, alienating fans nonstop. Seems like, anything he touches is turning, into crap, really. And also, you look at the size of that market, it fits a lot better with at least what the stated goals, again, going back to those stated goals of League One, fits better, with that than, these, Indies and Tampas and Phoenixes who are, spending, stupid money, for a second division team. So I wouldn't be stunned. Maybe it's not next year, maybe it's, a year or so down the road, but I wouldn't be stunned if they're, coming back home down to us at some point.
Yeah, that would be great to see. It did, but definitely, like, I think they played a U.S. Open Cup game against Greenville that was very well attended, and it was actually not a bad game. A team that I would kind of, it's another MLS season, but a team I could definitely see coming down is Atlanta United, too.
Yeah.
I can see them coming down.
I mean, selfishly, it'd be great to have Loudoun, come down. They're a two-team, but that's an easy trip for us then.
Yeah, I mean, it would be. It would be an easy trip for us.
Yeah, and given that our closest trip right now is Greenville, I'm all for being selfish with who I want to come in the league.
This is also true. I'm also really hoping that Virginia Beach comes through and decides they, come into USL League One, because I want to have an excuse to go to the beach and then also be like, oh, I'm going to a soccer game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, way back in the day when they had the Mariners, those were fun road games to, go to. I mean, Red Army wasn't around yet, but, some of the precursors, we'd get a dozen or so people down there, which in today's terms, not great, but, back then, great, travel, and it was fun. It didn't help that, didn't hurt any that we pretty much always won when we went down there and played them. I can remember, come from behind game, what was like 03 or 04, where, Delhi scored a couple. It was a good time. They have a nice little state, or I haven't been there in 15 years now, probably, but had a nice stadium at the time, for it. I think they're still using it for, like, high school sports and everything. The only problem was it was hard to get to. It would be like if, they put Move City Stadium and, dropped it off in, I don't know, like Goochland, but not right off of 64.
That seems super out of the way.
Yeah, so, but no, I'd be all for that coming back. That's an easy day trip where you can actually come back that evening and, have a good time, with it. So I'd be down for them. I also wouldn't be stunned to see, Charlotte come in some way. I know they have their MLS dreams right now. I mean, they draw nothing in the stands. So if they're aiming for, MLS, why not just drop a level in the meantime, save, a few coins along the way. And set yourself up, or if and when they do get their MLS team, Independence. There's that rumor that they would relocate over to like Greensboro or something. That would be cool.
Yeah. No. Okay. So this is the thing. Like, I loosely follow Charlotte. Of course, Ben, Goosehorn on Twitter. He's a good follow for anyone that's in the Charlotte market. And plus, as you know, my wife is from Charlotte. So okay. What I've heard is that they're moved. So right now they're in Matthews, which is those that live in Richmond. That's like Richmond to Petersburg. So they're moving back into the city of Richmond and taking, I believe, the old stadium of where Johnson C. Smith, the HBCU in Charlotte, used to play at. Johnson C. Smith now plays on campus. But they're moving back into the city of Charlotte, which was a thing that really hurt attendance for them, I think, moving to Matthews. And I think MLS 2 is its own separate thing. Like, I think they have nothing to do with the Independence, which I find kind of weird. Because I'm like, you already have a soccer team there. Why not take that and then build that instead of trying to make your own separate thing? But that's neither here nor there. If Charlotte and Charleston come down, I think that would be great. And then you would definitely have that pipeline of Richmond, Chattanooga, Charlotte, Charleston, and South Georgia, which would be Greenville. Awesome. Yeah, Greenville as well. Definitely and, Greenville. That would definitely be awesome.
Then you have the pipe dream that will never come true, that Wilmington comes back. But, again, I'm not counting on that one ever happening.
Yeah. I think they're fine being a youth club set up.
Yeah. So, and then I don't care about the teams out west. So, whoever wants to come can come, whatever.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Matt. Can you just tell where everyone to reach you out at?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at RVA is red. I had that name before the hashtag showed up. That was Patrick copying me, not me copying Patrick, for the record. I told you, I got all the takes tonight, man.
Yeah, I can tell.
But yeah, other you know, so that's the main place to be able to find me. But you know, just remember, you know, tonight sucked. No way around it. But you know, tonight was not the grand prize. The grand prize is, you know, Saturday, the following Saturday, and the Saturday after that. You know. You ranked, you know, coming in this morning, the 6 most important games of the season. This one would have been absolute dead last. So nobody likes to lose, would have rather won, would have rather drawn. Yeah, but this is not, you know, the death knell. And so get yourself, you know, out there on Saturday. Buy those tickets up from Elliot for Heritage Night. Buy them from the team. I don't care where you buy them. But pay your money, support the team, you know, show up, and, you know, let's beat up on Madison, you know, because they deserve it.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Well, man, I thank you for coming on so much.